So now Duryodhana has used this last weapon of diplomacy by instigating Bhishma by saying to all the soldiers through Dronacharya, Yatha bhagam avasthitah Bhishma eva virakshantu bhavantah sarvaivahi. Bhavantah sarvaivahi is just ordering directly. As a king, he can order. So he's saying, Bhavantah sarvaivahi, everybody take their strategic positions to protect Bhishma. So now he's instigating Bhishma. So Bhishma understanding the heart of Duryodhana. Now he is telling, please repeat after me. What Bhishma did is explained here. Tasya sanjanayan harsham.
Tasya sanjanayan harsham.
Tasya sanjanayan harsham.
Tasya sanjanayan harsham.
Puravriddha pitamaha.
Puravriddha pitamaha.
Simhanadam vinadyochai.
Simhanadam vinadyochai.
Chankau chankam datno pratapavan.
Chankam datno pratapavan.
Chankam datno pratapavan.
Chankam datno pratapavan.
Tasya sanjanayan harsham guru vritta pitamaha. So hearing these words of Duryodhana, guru vritta pitamaha, pitamaha is Bhishma, is guru vritta, he is the oldest person there at present surviving. So what did he do? Simhanadam vinadhochai shankau datno pratapavan. He took his shankha and he started blowing his conch shell. And the sound of the conch shell was like that, a roar of a lion. And this roar, tasya sanjayan, sanjayan harsham, sanjanayan harsham. Tasya, especially Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and all his friends, all of them felt what? Harsham. Now I am successful in my diplomacy. Now Dronacharya is going to fight. Now the person who took a vow to protect the entire Kuru Vamsha, Bhishma, the most elderly person, now he is also on our side. So by blowing this conch shell, Bhishma has indicated two things. Number one, Duryodhana, don't doubt of my integrity towards you. I am going to fight to my best. Use all my strength against the Pandavas. But, the second point, in spite of I fighting to the best of my ability, conch shell is a symbol of Vishnu. And Vishnu is on the side of Arjuna and the Pandavas. So, there is no question about their victory. They are going to be victorious in spite of I fighting with all my strength. I am not going to show any affection of the Pandavas. But the truth is that they are going to win the war. In this way, these are the two points which are there in this particular verse. So please read the purport.
Cheer him by blowing his conch shell very loudly, befitting his position as a lion. Indirectly, by the symbolism of the conch shell, he informed his depressed grandson, Duryodhana, that he had no chance of victory in the battle because the Supreme Lord Krishna was on the other side. But still, it was his duty to conduct the fight, and no pains could be spared in that connection.
Okay, that's the two points there. Krishna Bhishma is a very powerful personality. And now Duryodhana was very happy to see Bhishma in full form that he's going to fight. But still, Bhishma has indicated through conch shell. Now conch shell is a symbol of Vishnu. So this conch shell is blown in the temples to show that all the inauspiciousness should go away. That is the purpose of blowing the conch shell. Suppose some yajna is going on, side by side some people blow the conch shell. because some inauspicious sounds are there, all these things will go away because of that. The only person who can actually drive away all the inauspiciousness is Vishnu. So Kanchali is considered to be a symbol of Vishnu.
What was the age of Vishnu at this time?
Age of Bhishma, very difficult to say.
400 years.
400, is it? He's saying so it should be. Prabhupada explains Krishna was around 100 years old. Krishna was around 100. So Bhishma is like, if Krishna is around 100, maybe Pandavas were also in the same time. They were also about 100. So Pandavas, father's father, imagine. Grandfather. If a person is 100 years old, whose grandfather would be? Something like that. 400 years old. Tatashankascha bheryascha Panavanaka gomukaha Sahasaibhyasjanantasa Shabdastumulo bhavat. And these conch shells, as soon as Bhishma blew, all the Kauravas, they started blowing their conch shells, their drums and all this stuff. So then, when this happened, all the people there in the Kaurava party, they were Shabdastumulo bhavat. This great sound was very vibrant, very, very powerful. That's what is explained there. See, any purport is there?
No.
Next. So, Tataha refers to great enthusiasm, because Bhishma took the lead, immediately everybody became very enthusiastic. 14th.
Tata-svete-rayer-yukte
Mati-syantane-sthitav
Madhava-pandava-scheiva
Dibhyo-shankho-pradatmatuhu. Now, as soon as this Kauravas, they start blowing their conch shells, kettle drums, everything was going on, then the description goes, Sindhya describes about Krishna Arjuna. This verse is known as the Parthasarathi verse. The verse which describes the Parthasarathi form. What is the Parthasarathi form? Krishna driving the chariot. In Delhi we have Parthasarathi temple. Prabhupada wanted Parthasarathi temple also in Kurukshetra. So, Tada Shveter Hayer Yukte. What are the colors of the horses of the chariot?
White.
Anybody know how many horses were there?
Four.
Four horses are there. And these horses, they were driving chariot. The chariot was given by Agnidev. And this Agnidev, this chariot, could move in all directions. Like the fire can move in all directions. Hayarute Mahati Sandhane Sito. Sandhana, chariot. Chariot means Sandhana means chariot. It is Mahati. Mahati because of what? Mahati means great. Why? Because great people were sitting there. Sometimes you have a Mercedes, and sometimes in the Mercedes a dog travels. Dog is going. So this chariot is great because great people are sitting. Mahati is Chandanavastav. Madhavaha Pandavaschaiva. Now what is the name used for Krishna here?
Madhava.
What is the meaning of Madhava? So this is another sign of victory. That is how? Husband of goddess of fortune. So fortune will be the side of Pandavas. Because Krishna has been addressed here as Madhava. Madhava Pandavas Chaivya. Divyo Shankho Pratakmatu. What is the nature of the conscience which they blew? Divyam, transcendental. On the other side, the Kauravas conch shell, there is no question, there is no description that their conch shells were divine. Whereas here Krishna's and Arjuna's conscience was divine, they are transcendental. How many of you know the meaning of the word transcendental? Beyond what? Yes, beyond three modes of material nature. What is the opposite of transcendental?
Material.
So, material is defined as what? If transcendental is above the modes, material is? Not below, within the modes. So, in philosophy, opposites are antonyms. Cannot be exactly the same as you find in the English dictionary. So above the modes, the opposite of it is not below the modes. The opposite of it is within the modes. Okay? So we should know the meaning of transcend means you pass over something, you cross over something. That's called transcendental. So you pass over or go beyond the modes, above the modes. Okay, this is the description.
Why it has been said so? The counsel of Arjuna was from this material world. Why we say it is transcendental?
Yeah, Divyo Shanko Madhapratak Matu. See, Arjuna is a parshad of Krishna. Okay? Even whatever Arjuna got, they are also transcendental. Anything in connection with Krishna and the parshads of Krishna, they are all transcendental. Actually, nothing material can touch Krishna and the parshadas of Krishna. So the story goes like this in the Bhagavatam, that we all know Brahma, he stole all the cowherd boys and the calves. Whose calves were they? They are the calves of Krishna and the cowherd boys. The cowherd boys are the friends of Krishna. Brahma, he is having a material body. Though he is our acharya and all these things, he is having a material body, isn't it? Now, Brahma cannot touch the cowherd boys and the calves. What to speak of stealing them? Because cowherd boys and the calf, they are totally on the transcendental platform. So Brahma cannot steal them. So whom did Brahma steal? Krishna, he created a set of illusory calves and cowherd boys, which were the product of matter. So Brahma stole them. The real cowherd boys and the calves were actually stolen by Krishna. Like Ravana, he came and he wanted to take Sita. Who is Sita? So, Sita cannot be touched by Ravana. Actually, whom he took? He took Maya Sita. So, in this way, we understand that anything in connection with Krishna and parshas of Krishna should be on the divine, on the transcendental platform. Okay. Third point.
In contrast with the conscience blown by Bhishma Dev, the conscience in the hand of Krishna and Arjuna are described as transcendental. The sounding of the transcendental conch shells indicated that there was no hope of victory for the other side because Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. Jayastu Pandaputranam
Yashamakti.
Victory is always with the persons like the sons of Pandu because Lord Krishna is associated with them. And whenever and wherever the Lord is present, the goddess of fortune is also there because the goddess of fortune never lives alone without her husband. Therefore, victory and fortune were waiting Arjuna, as indicated by the transcendental sound produced by the concha of Krishna, or Lord Krishna. Besides that, the chariot on which both the friends were seated had been donated by Agni, the fire god, to Arjuna, and this indicated that this chariot was capable of conquering all sides, wherever it was drawn over the three worlds.
Yes. Next. Now they blew their conscience, which are transcendental. Now the names of the conscience are given. Next words. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dharanjaya Amrodatno Mahashankam Kshema Karma Vrikodhara. So Krishna, he blew his conch shell. What is the name of Krishna's conch shell?
Panchajanya.
All of you know the story of Panchajanya, how Krishna got Panchajanya? So Krishna finished his Gurukul, Balaram, both of them went to Sandipanmani. So when he went there, both of them, they told, what Guru Dakshina we can give to you. Sandipanmani told, I will want Guru Dakshina from you, only that Guru Dakshina which only you can give, nobody can else give, can give. So he told, bring back my
sons.
Then what happened? They all went here and there, went to Varuna. Varuna told, there is a demon inside my ocean, just go and see. They went down, there was one demon was riding in a conch shell. They killed the demon, tore open Papadi's stomach and saw there was no son. So Krishna liked the body of the demon, the conch shell, he took it and he went to Yamaloka. Yamaloka must be, Yamaraj must be knowing. There when he went to Yamaloka, there are so many torments given to people who have done simple activities. There is one place where people are fried in oil. In one place where people are given hot molten iron to drink. So, but now what happened? All the Yamadutas came running to Yamaraj and told, what is happening in Yamaloka? Now Yamaloka is no more Yamaloka. It is better than Swarga. Because now we are trying to fry people in oil. Now they are having a nice time again, swimming in a swimming pool. Now these people, some people, now it's like we are giving them molten iron to drink. When they are drinking it, becoming mango juice, cold mango juice. Yamaraj thought something is wrong. Let me just go and see. When he went outside the door of Yamapuri, there Krishna is blowing the conch shell. So wherever the transcendental sound, the conch shell of Krishna is there, there, even though it is hell, that becomes like heaven. Even though it is heaven, when there is no sound or transcendental sounds of Krishna heard, that becomes hell. So this is where Krishna got this Panchajanya. The gentleman's name is Panchajanya. Devadattam Dhananjayaha Panchajanyam Rishikesho. Now Krishna has been addressed here as Rishikesha. Why? Because he is going to direct the senses of Arjuna. In this way he is going to make Arjuna victorious. Another sign of victory for your exam. Devadattam Dhananjaya Paundravudaddo Mahashankam Bhima Karma Rukodaraha. Bhima, he blew his conch shell. What was the name of the conch shell which Bhima blew?
Paundra.
So when he blew this conch shell, Bhima, all Arjuna, Bhima and Krishna's three conscious names are given here. Now Bhima is known as Bhima Karma Vrukodara. Vrukodara means what?
Yes.
One who can eat a lot. Prabhupada giving a lecture once on this verse, he says, Bhima was not only a good eater, but also was expert in performing Herculean tasks. So devotees should not be just interested in eating, they should also render service. That is why it's known as Bhima Karma. Bhima Karma means, it is not the activities done by Bhima, activity is done like Bhima. So, when somebody does a very great activity, very big activity, we say Bhima. He's our Bhima, he's very strong. And not only is he strong, he eats a lot. And also does a lot of work. Okay. Purport.
Lord Krishna is referred to as Rishikesh of his birth because he is the owner of all senses. Luminosity is a part and parcel of him. Therefore, the senses of luminosity are also part and parcel of his senses. The impersonal cannot account to the senses of the luminosity. Therefore, they are always anxious to understand all living entities are senseless, only impersonal. The God is situated in the hearts of all living entities, directs their senses, but he directs in terms of surrender of the living entity. And in the case of the pure devotee, he directly controls the senses. Here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord directly controls the transcendental senses of Arjuna. And thus his particular name is Rishikesh. The Lord has different names according to his different activities. For example, His name is Madhusudan. Because he killed the demon with the name Madhu. His name is Govinda. Because he gives pleasure to the cows and the sense and to the senses. His name is Vasudeva. Because he appeared as a son of Vasudeva. His name is Devaki Nandan. Because he accepted Devaki as his mother. His name is Yashoda Nandan. Because he provided his childhood pastime. Yashoda and Vrindavan. His name is Parthasarathi because he worked as a charioteer for his friend Arjuna. Similarly, his name is Rishikesh because he gave direction to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna is referred to as Dhananjaya in this verse because he helped his elder brother in fetching blood when he was required by the king to make expenditures for different sacrifices. Similarly, Bhima is known as Vipraya because he could keep as ferocious as he could perform Herculean tasks, such as killing the demon within the Bhima. So particular types of functional clones and the different personalities, besides the Pandavas, beginning with the dogs, they all vary in character for fighting soldiers. On the other side, there were no such parents. Not the presence of God Krishna, the Supreme Director, rather the Goddess of Fortune. So they were predestined to lose the battle. That was the message announced at the sound of the function.
Okay, so now another signs of victory have been described here. That how these conchals are there and Bhima is very powerful. And Arjuna is known as Dhananjaya. All these things are described quite easily. Next.
अनन्तविजयम् राजा
कुन्तीपुत्रो युधिष्ठिरः नकुलसहदेवश्च सुघोषमणिपुष्पकौ काश्यश्च परमेश्वास शिखण्डी च महारथः दृष्टद्युम्नो विराटश्च सात्विकश्च पराजितः द्रुपदो द्रौपदेयश्च सर्वशां पृथिवीपते सौभद्रश्च महाबाहो शङ्खं दद्मो पृथक् पृथक्. Now everybody started blowing their conch shells. Now Ananta Vijayam Raja, Kunti Putra Yudhishthiraha. Yudhishthir, what it is? What did he chant? What was the name of the conch shell? Ananta Vijayam. Nakula and Sahadev, Nakula's conch shell is?
Shubhosha.
Sahadev's is? Manipushpaka. And then Kashyascha Parameshvascha Shikandishta Maharataha Vishchadjunno Viratascha Shakti. Then the soldiers' names are given. All these people, they started blowing their conch shells. Drupada, Draupadeya. We all know who is Drupada. Draupadeya means the children of Draupadi. Sarvashaha Prajvipate. They are all great people. Saubhadrascha Mahabahu. Saubhadra is Abhimanyu. Shankho Dadvam Pratakpratap. They started blowing their own conch shells. We find on the other hand, when the Kauravas blew their conch shells, none of their conch shells' names are mentioned. That means they are not, their conch shells' names were not even fit to be mentioned. They are not even fit to be mentioned. That's the whole thing. But what?
Sanjaya informed King Dhritarashtra very tactfully that his unwise policy of deceiving the sons of Pandu and endeavoring to enthrone his own sons on the seat of the kingdom was not very laudable. The signs already clearly indicate that the whole Kuru dynasty would be killed in the great battle, beginning with the grandsire Bhishma down to the grandsons like Abhimanyu and others, including king from many sides, states of the world. All were present there. and all were doomed. The bolts
catastrophe
was given to the king Dhritarashtra because he encouraged the policy followed by his sons.
Okay, the whole purport is based on one word here in the 18th verse called Mahipate. What is the meaning of Mahipate? So sarcastically saying, oh Mahipate, what kind of king you are? What kind of king you are? Because of you, all are going to die, all your people. This is not befitting you as a king. So in this way, the word Mahipate has been explained in the purport. Sarcastically is explaining Mahipate. Next, 19th. Sagosho Dhritarashtranam Hridayani Vidharaya Namasya Prithvim Chaiva Tumulo Bhyarnadayan. Sagosho Dhritarashtranam, as soon as the conscience were blown by the Pandavas, then what happened to the Dhritarashtra, sons of the Dhritarashtra? Radhani Dharayat. Their hearts were shattered. Why their hearts were shattered? Why?
Because of his tremendous fear of losing the battle.
Because they called the transcendental, but they were.
Read the purport. You read the purport alone. Everybody keep silence. And he will tell why. Why is it so? Read within yourself. So Pandavas had confidence in Lord Krishna. That is why what happened? Wait, let him speak.
They had nothing to fear.
So because of that they had nothing to fear. My question is, why Dhritarashtra's sons, their hearts were shattered?
They didn't take shelter?
Yeah, good. The converse is true, isn't it? Pandavas, when the Kauravas blew their conscience, there is no description that the Pandavas' hearts were shattered. When the Pandavas blew their conscience, the Kauravas' hearts were shattered. So now, Prabhupada explains in the purport, why the Pandavas' hearts were not shattered? Because of their confidence in Krishna. What was the confidence in Krishna which they had? That Krishna is going to protect me or protect us in all circumstances. That was the confidence which they had. So that is why they had no fear. On the other hand, Duryodhana and all his group, their hearts were totally shattered. Why? Because they had no confidence in Krishna that he is going to protect us. Because of that, they had fear in the heart. When actually even 14 years of exile, Duryodhana did not sleep even for a single day. 12 years and 20, 13 years. Did not sleep for a single day. He was awake. Whenever he is about to go to sleep, he used to think, if the Pandavas come. So that kind of fear he had. Where the Pandavas were peacefully sleeping in the forest. They had no anxiety, they had no fear. So Duryodhana was staying inside the palace with so many soldiers to protect him. But fear was there. You find there are so many rich people, so much of protection, so much of property to depend on. They live the sleepless nights. Where a devotee is, he doesn't even have a bank account, nothing in his hand, sleeping peacefully. So because of confidence, because Pandavas were totally surrendered to Krishna. So where does Krishna say? to all of us to surrender. Which words? Famous words? Sarvadharman Paritecha. So let us go to that verse, open the purport and see the words which talks about six aspects of surrender. 1866, purport. And repeat that words after me. Anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulasya
varjanam,
rakshasititi vishwaso, voktrutve varanam tata, atmanikshepakarpanye, shadvidha sharanagati. These are six aspects of surrender. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in a song, book called Sharanagati. 50 bhajans are there in that. Based on the six aspects of surrender. Each aspect of surrender, he has written some eight songs, six songs like that. So these are the six aspects of surrender. When these six aspects of surrender, now which one is explained in the present words what we are talking? Rakshas chiti iti vishwaso. Rakshas chiti iti means Krishna will protect me. In this way, iti vishwasaha. So in this way, we had Pandavas, we have surrendered to Krishna. Surrender means to have complete confidence that Krishna will protect me in all circumstances. So that is a special position of the Pandavas. Now, anyhow, that is the point in the purport. He has already read for all of us. 20th verse. Atha vivasthitan drishtva
Mātarāṣṭrāṁ
kapitvajah pravṛtte
shastra sampāte
dhanuryudhyama pāṇḍavah
Rishikesham
tadā vākyam idamāha mahīpate. Atha vyavasthitan drishtva dhrātarāṣṭrān kapitvajah. Arjuna is addressed here as what? What? Kapitvaja. What is the meaning of kapitvaja? Arjuna had a chariot, and the chariot of Arjuna, the flag Hanuman was there. Hanuman was there in the flag. So Kapitvaja, the story of Hanuman getting under the flag of Arjuna is like this. Like Bhima met Hanuman and then he promised him that I'll assist you in your war cries. Arjuna also met Hanuman. There's one place still in Himalayas where Arjuna met Hanuman. So when Hanuman was there on the road, Arjuna told, "Hey, what are you? Get out. Who are you?" Arjuna asked. He told, "I am Hanuman." And Arjuna told, "Achcha, achcha, you are that Hanuman. Who was a devotee of Ram, who could not build a bridge of arrows. He had to take the help of some monkeys and he built a bridge of stones. Achcha, that person's devotee you are, achcha, achcha." Then Hanuman became very furious and told, "What you would have done? And if I had been there, I would have just taken one arrow and shot an arrow, that's all. That arrow would have multiplied and then I would have built a bridge of arrows." Then Hanuman told, "If you had built a bridge of arrows to Lanka, it would have not taken care of the weight of the smallest monkey in our army." Arjuna was so furious. What you are saying to me, this thing? Then he told, I'll build a bridge now. There's a river flowing nearby. He took an arrow and shot an arrow and immediately there's a bridge built of arrows. Then Arjuna told, "Try to destroy this bridge." And Hanuman went and do this. Bridge went like this, nothing happened. Hanuman thought, "What is this?" So he went put his foot on the bridge, nothing happened. He was shaking but nothing happened. Hanuman put both of his legs on, nothing happened. He jumped, nothing happened. He became so huge and he went, he got all the stones in the Himalayas and started dropping on the bridge, nothing happened. Then he saw down, there was a river flowing in a stream of the water, along with the stream of water, blood was also flowing. Immediately he came down and he saw Lord Ramachandra was holding the bridge from below onto his back. Immediately Hanuman fell down, feet, oh Lord, what is this you are doing? And after some time, Arjuna also came down and then saw Krishna was holding the bridge of arrows. Then Arjuna fell down flat and then said, oh Lord, what are you doing? So then Lord Krishna told Arjuna, I am Krishna for you and Ram for him. Lord Ram told Hanuman that I am Ram for you and Krishna for Arjuna. So in this way, your devotees are the same person only. So both of them hugged each other and Hanuman told, anyway, I have already promised Bhima that I am going to assist in war prize. I was thinking, where should I be there in Mahabharata war? So the right place is, I will be on your chariot in the flag. So then Prabhupada fully writes in the purports about it. Wherever Hanuman is there, Ram is there. Who is there? Sita is there. Goddess of Fortune will be definitely there. So this is another sign of victory that here Arjuna has been addressed as what? Kapitvajaha. Ata vyavasthitan drishtva dhratarashtran kapitvajaha. So as soon as Arjuna, kapitvaja, he saw drishtva. What did he see? Dhratarashtran. From far he was able to see the army of the Kauravas. And he saw, he took the arrow, pravrutte, shastra sampate. He took the arrow and put it on his bow. And he pulled it also. And he pulled it. What did he say? Rishikesham tada vakhyam idamaha mahipate. Rishikesham. He told to whom? Rishikesha. Krishna is here addressed as Rishikesha. Why? Because he knows the mind of Arjuna. Because Rishikesham is control of senses. And what is topmost of all senses? Mind. So here, Krishna knows the mind of Arjuna. Now you know, now he is pulling the arrow and then he is about to release. He is now very confident. Arjuna and Krishna knew what is going to happen now in future. So what did he say? He explained further. Read the purport.
On the
mic.
Okay.
On? Okay.
It is understood from the above statement that the sons of Dhritarashtra were more or less disheartened by the unexpected arrangement of the great force by the Pandavas, who were guided by the direct instructions of Lord Krishna on the battlefield. The emblem of Hanuman on the flag of Arjuna is another sign of victory, because Hanuman cooperated with Lord Rama in the battle between Rama and Ravana, and Lord Rama emerged victorious. Now both Rama and Hanuman were present on the chariot of Arjuna to help him. Lord Krishna is Rama himself, and wherever Lord Rama is, his eternal servitor Hanuman and his eternal consort Sita, the goddess of fortune, are present. Therefore, Arjuna has no cause to fear any enemies whatsoever. And above all, the Lord of the senses, Lord Krishna, was personally present to give him direction. Thus, all good counsel was available to Arjuna in the matter of executing the battle. In such auspicious conditions arranged by the Lord for his eternal devotee, lay the signs of assured victory.
Now, the signs of victory are all there. Yes. Now, next, Arjuna starts speaking. Arjuna Vacha.
सेनयोरुपयोर् मध्ये कथं स्थापयमेच्छुत यावदेता निरीक्षेहम् युद्धकामानवस्थितान् कैर्मया सह योद्धव्यम् अस्मिन् रणसमुद्यमे योत्समानमवेक्षेहम् That's the next verse, isn't it? Okay. Now, we have covered two subjects till now. One subject is diplomacy of Duryodhana, starting from the second verse onwards till the 11th verse. And then from 12th verse onwards till the 20th verse, the second subject is the signs of victory. Okay? These are the two subjects we have covered till now. Now, from the 21st verse onwards till the 27th verse, we will be talking about Krishna's Bhakta Vatsalata. That is the subject. Krishna's Bhakta Vatsalata means compassion, Krishna's affection for his devotee. Twenty-first till twenty-seventh. Yeah. Of course, first words is a very special subject. Mind of the Dhritarashtra, first words. Huh? 21st till 27th. That is Bhakta Vatsalata of Krishna. Okay. सेनयोर उभयोर मध्ये रथं स्थापयेमेच्युत सेनयोर उभयोर उभया बोथ सेना बोथ द आर्मीज रथं स्थापया अर्जुन इज ऑर्डरिंग होम होम ऋषिकेश ऋषिकेश इज द कंट्रोलर ऑफ सेंस नाउ इज बीइंग कंट्रोल्ड बाय अर्जुन सो ही इज ऑर्डरिंग Krishna, Ratam Sthapaya, Ne Achyuta. Why? Yavadeta Nirikshehem. I want to see. Whom I want to see? Yuddhakamana Vastitan. Who has assembled to? The desire to fight. Karma Kairmaya Saha Yuddham Yuddhavyam Aspin Samudhyame. Kairmaya, who are there in the opposite party who want to fight with me? I want to see them in this Asmin Rana Samudhyame, in the battlefield. So let us talk something on Achyuta. Why Krishna is addressed as Achyuta? What is the meaning of Achyuta? Never fall down. But Krishna has fallen down. From his position, he has become a driver. Krishna has become a driver, isn't he? He's not fallen down. Huh? The Supreme Lord of three worlds. He is Bhagavan. He fell down and became a driver. He sometimes became a watchman. Huh? Shoekeeper, isn't it? Watchman, driver, shoekeeper. What all he becomes? So what is the meaning of the word Achyuta? One who never fall down. But Krishna fell down from his position. That is the meaning of Achyuta. So Achyuta means one who never fall down from the position of Bhakta Vatsalata. Krishna is willing to do anything for the sake of his devotee. So that is his position. Krishna is willing to even give up his position as Bhagavan to maintain the position of his devotee, of maintain his position of being Bhakta Vatsala. So please make a small note about the four points here. That is, one is Achyuta here, one who never falls down from the position of Bhakta Vatsala. this is related to three more things. One is Bhishma. Krishna is willing to give up his words for the sake of protecting the words of Bhishma. Second thing, third thing, Prahlad Maharaj. Satyam vidhatum nijavritya bhashitam. Yaptincha loke lokesh akiresh chatmanah. Adrishyatatyat bhuta rupamudbhavan stambhe sabhayam mrigam na manusham. What does this verse say? To make the words of his devotee truth. Krishna appeared as Narasimha. Satyam vidhatum nijavritya bhashitam. So Arjuna was very much confident. Whatever I say, Krishna will. The last point connected to this subject is Kaunteya pratijaniya namevatta pranashyati. Arjuna told, Krishna told Arjuna, hey Arjuna, you declare to the world that my devotee will never perish. Why? Why Krishna told Arjuna to declare? Why Krishna himself could have declared?
Because Krishna, if the devotee makes a promise, Krishna will never.
The whole world knows that Krishna is a liar. Isn't it? So he may keep up his promise or he may not. But if a devotee takes a promise, he has to. So that people know. So that is why Krishna told, what did he say? Arjuna, you declare. If I declare, people may believe, may not believe. But if you declare, people have to believe because they know that to make your words true, I am willing to do anything. So all these things are going on in the mind of Arjuna. That is why he says, Achyuta, I am sure I will order and you will follow the order. Okay. Read the purport.
Although that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his boundless mercy, he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never found his affection for his devotee, and thus he is addressed herein as incredible. As chariot, he had to carry out the order of Arjuna. And since Krishna hesitated to do so, he is addressed as infallible. His supreme position was not challenged. In all circumstances, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hrishikesh, the Lord of the total senses. The relationship between the Lord and his servitor is very sweet and transcendental. The servitor is always ready to render a service to the Lord and to the devotee. He takes greater pleasure in his pure devotee's assuming the advantageous position of ordering him than he does in being the giver of orders. As master, everyone is under his order and no one is above him to order him. But when he finds that a pure devotee is ordering him, he obtains transcendental pleasure. Although he is the infallible master of all circumstances, as a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna had no desire to fight with his concerns and brothers. But he was forced to come into the battlefield by the absence of Dhritra, Duryodhana, was never agreeable to any peaceful invitation. Therefore, he was very anxious to see how the leading persons present on the battlefield were. Although there was no question of their peacemaking and no one on the battlefield, he wanted to see them again and to see how much they were bent upon demanding and unwanted work.
Okay, so here somebody may say, Arjuna wanted to compromise. No, neither Arjuna wanted to compromise, neither he had fear of the Kauravas. But he just wanted to see, who are those people who want to fight with me? That was the mood of Arjuna. Okay, next. Yotsamanana vekshehaṁ jāyetetra samāgatā ātarāṣṭasya durbuddher yuddhe priyachakeshavah. Will purport?
It was an open secret that Duryodhana wanted to usurp the kingdom of the Pandavas by using flash in collaboration with his father Dhritarashtra. Therefore, one person who had joined the side of Duryodhana must have been washed of the same figure. Arjuna wanted to see them on the battlefield before the fight was begun, just to learn who they were. But he had no intention of proposing his negotiations with them. It was also a fact that he wanted to see them to make an estimate of the strength which he had to face. Although he was quite confident of victory, because Krishna was sitting by his side.
So now Arjuna wanted to see those people who have joined the side of Duryodhana. You know, Dhatarashtrasya Durbuddhe. They are Durbuddhi. They are okay. They are all having contaminated intelligence. But I want to see who joined their side. There are so many kings who have joined their side. I want to just see who they are. So in this way Arjuna had this query. So he wanted to go and see. That is what he says. As soon as Arjuna spoke these words, the question, yes.
The preparation for the battle was continuing for a long time. So both the parties very well knew that who were on the either side. Arjuna being the one of the main persons, have certainly known so many generals and so are there. Then why he is again asking Krishna to put his chariot? See again, you would have known it.
That is not mentioned, you would already know. He clearly said in this particular verse, it is very clear that I want to see those who have joined the side of Dhritarashtra. So it is not sure that Arjuna knew who all joined on the side of Dhritarashtra. You see, this is Mahabharata. Practically the entire world, all the kings were either taking the side of Arjuna or Duryodhana, Pandavas or Kauravas. Only very few kings did not take sides. But practically, Saindava came all the way from Australia. There are so many people came from Russia. All the many people came from East Europe, from Africa. There is a description in the Mahabharata from which all places people came to take part in the war. It is not just, you know, some people like this. It was a Mahabharat. At that time, the whole world was called Bharat. It is not that this piece of this land that is only called Bharat. This piece of land is called India, not Bharat. Even Afghanistan was Bharat. Even East Europe was Bharat. Russia was Bharat. Everything was Bharat. There is a nice description, article, where it's described that how you go to any civilization in the world, there is Mongolian civilization, there is Japanese, there is Russian, Australian, you go anywhere, African, there will be a story. Once upon a time, there was a big war, a battle between the two brothers. The historians have examined this thing. But of course, the battle, their story goes to only a certain extent. Because the Mahabharata war, when different kings, they all took part in the battlefield, in the battle, the rule was, when they lose their king, all the army, they don't have the qualification to take part in the war. They have to go back. Suppose, for example, some king, he brought about 1,000 soldiers from his country to side Duryodhana. The king died. and about 500 soldiers died. Other 500 soldiers, they had to go back to their kingdom. They had to go back. So now while going back, what happened was, they're thinking all the way going back, they would just set up their camp on the side of some river and start a new civilization. New setup altogether. And there, within their community, they would describe about the glory of Arjuna. They would talk about Bhima. Though on the side of the Kauravas, they are seeing these people, isn't it? So they would talk about this. But they were not knowing what happened. Conclusion. So they would only talk about some stories. So that remained in generations after generations, generations after generations. So many historians, they have found out this thing, that practically every civilization in the world talks about Mahabharata. So just imagine, the entire world, all the kings were there, either sitting inside of Pandavas and Kauravas. I think your claim that Arjuna already knew who all were there on the side of the Kauravas, it's too difficult. I think he would not be knowing so. That is why I want to express this desire, that I want to see who has taken the side of the evil-minded Dhritarashtra. So now Arjuna spoke like this. As soon as Arjuna spoke, what happened? Sanjay is explaining. This is the side after me. Sanjay Uvacha. Evamukto Rishikesho.
Evamukto Rishikesho.
Dakeshena Bharata.
Dakeshena Bharata.
Dakeshena Bharata.
Dakeshena Bharata.
Enayor Bhayor Madhye.
Enayor Bhayor Madhye.
Tapaitvara Dottamam.
Tapaitvara Dottamam.
Evamukto Rishikesho. As soon as Rishikesha, Gudakeshena Bharata. Now, Gudakesha. Arjuna is addressed here as? Why is he called Gudakesha? One who has conquered sleep and ignorance. Sleep and ignorance are synonymous to each other. Arjuna was always thinking of Krishna. Even in sleep, he was thinking of Krishna. That is why he conquered over ignorance. Because in sleep, he was thinking of Krishna. When we think of Krishna, we fall asleep. But Arjuna.
What
is Arjuna had exactly opposite. Even in sleep, he was thinking of Krishna. Yeah, he is a friend, so he can think. Yudhishthira, he went to the camp where Arjuna was taking rest. When he went there, Arjuna was sleeping. But Yudhishthira Maharaj could hear when Arjuna would breathe. Sound used to come. Even his breath was actually breathing sound was also Krishna. Every set pore of Arjuna would chant the name of Krishna. That was the affection which Arjuna had for Krishna. They would never live without each other. That was the friendship. And sometimes we have friendship, isn't it, some people? We just cannot live without friends. Always you think about them. That was the friendship which they had. So because of that, he has conquered ignorance. Conquering ignorance means thinking of Krishna. Now, one special meaning has been given to the word Gudakesha by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He explains Gudakesha like this. Good plus Akesha. Good means what? Good. Jagri. Sweet. Akesha refers to Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Isha is Mahesh. Akesha. A refers to Vishnu. Ka refers to Brahma. Isha refers to Lord Shiva. So what is this? Sweet Brahma Vishnu Mahesh. Brahma Vishnu Mahesh has the control of the modes of nature and they are very powerful, isn't it? They are very opulent. So Gudakesha means Arjuna is Gudakesha because Brahma Vishnu Mahesh, they can only show their sweetness towards Arjuna, not their opulence. You know the story very well. The Brahmin who had babies dying one after the other. So immediately this Brahmin felt, what is this? I have already lost so many babies. 16 babies I have lost. But I am not doing any sinful activity. It is because of the king is not proper. King is doing something sinful. That is why this thing, unnatural thing is happening. So then he went and told the king of Rasena. When he met Arjuna was there, how dare you criticize the king? I'll see who can take care of, take your babies out. Then he took a pratignya that if I am not able to protect your baby, I'll enter fire. So then he was, again the Brahmin wife got pregnant, and the day she was about to deliver the baby, Arjuna was outside. Let me see who is going to come. Earlier when the Brahmin's wife, when she delivered the baby, at least the baby survived for 2-3 days. But now as soon as the baby was born, died. Arjuna went to all the places in the world, all the places here and there, but he could not find. He went to Yamaloka also, but he could not find where the babies are. Then what to do? He has taken a vow, so he has to enter fire. Arjuna is about to enter fire, Agni Pravesha is going on. At the time Krishna came and told Arjuna, what can we do? You have taken a vow, please go. Then Arjuna is looking at Krishna, do something now. I'm entering fire, I'm your friend. Then Krishna told, wait. Let us try out one more time. Let us have one more round. Come along with me. So Krishna took Arjuna to many places. Krishna told him what we can do. Not there. Then Krishna told, last try, we'll go to Mahavishnu. So Krishna took Arjuna to Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu was sleeping. And Arjuna went and saw on the bed Ananta Sesha. Mahavishnu was sleeping. 17 babies were also there. Arjuna told Mahavishnu, what are you doing with these babies? Then he told, you see, I want to see both of you. So Arjuna told you to see both of us. You put me in so much of danger. So this is the story. So he could only show sweetness to Arjuna. Even Lord Shiva showed sweetness to Arjuna. When did Brahma show sweetness to Arjuna? I don't know. But Lord Shiva and Vishnu, I can think of. I know the stories. Okay. In this way, we have Eva Mukto Rishikeshu Gudakeshena Bharata Senayor Bhyor Madhye Stapaitva Ratottamam. Stapaitva Ratottamam. So what did he do? Rishikesha. Rishikesha is who? Krishna. Krishna, he is the controller of senses. Now he became controlled by Arjuna. He is supposed to control Arjuna's senses. Now he became controlled by Arjuna's senses. One of the senses is the mouth. So Arjuna told something and now he became controlled by Arjuna's senses. This is a paradox. That is why Asanjaya says, Eva Mukto Rishikeshu Gudakeshena Bharata. Who is Bharata here? Read properly. Dhritarashtra. He is addressing Dhritarashtra as what? Dhritarashtra is also Bharatvamsha only. Na? And Arjuna is Bharatvamsha. Dhritarashtra is also Bharatvamsha. Now Sanjaya is telling, we have a habit, you know, because, oh Bharata, oh sign of Bharata, generally addressed to Arjuna. But here Sanjaya is addressing Dhritarashtra as Bharata, saying that you belong to Bharatvamsha. Are you not ashamed to do this king, this activity? Is it befitting you? Just see the Supreme Lord. On one side Arjuna is there in your family. On the other side, this kind of person like you are there. Both belong to same vamsha. I just cannot understand how you came to this vamsha. Get the point? That's what Sanjaya is telling. So, Senayorubhayormandhye. Sanjaya told Krishna, he took the chariot between the two armies and he placed the chariot between the two armies. Whatever Arjuna told, Krishna did. Okay, read the purport.
This verse, Arjuna referred to as Gudakesha. Means sleep, and one who conquers sleep is called Gudakesha.
sleep also means ignorance. So Arjuna conquered both sleep and ignorance because of his friendship with Krishna. As a great devotee of Krishna, he would not forget Krishna even for a moment, because that is the nature of a devotee. Either in waking or in sleep, a devotee of the Lord can never be free from thinking of Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes. Thus a devotee of Krishna can conquer both sleep and ignorance simply by thinking of Krishna constantly. This is called Krishna consciousness or samadhi. As Rishikesh, or the director of the senses and mind of every living entity, Krishna could understand Arjuna's purpose in placing the chariot in midst of the armies. Thus he did so and spoke as follows.
Now Krishna speaks. So Krishna's speech has been quoted in indirect speech. Okay? Not in direct speech. That is why there is no Bhagavan Vacha here. Sanjay is telling Krishna spoke like this. Bhishma Drona Pramukataha Sarvesham Cha Mahikshitam Sarvesham Cha Mahikshitam Vacha Bhartha Vashetan Samavetan Kuru Niti. Now Bhishma Drona Pramukataha Sarvesham Cha Mahikshitam Sarvesham Cha Mahikshitam. In front of Bhishma, in front of Drona and all the other kings, Mahikshitam Vacha. Who spoke? Krishna spoke. What he say? Partha Pashyetam Samavetam Kuruniti. What he say? O Partha Pashyetam. See them. See whom? Kurun iti Samavetam. All the Kurus are assembled there. You see them. So now Partha. Krishna addresses Arjuna as what? Partha. Why Partha? Now Krishna is able to understand what's going to happen to the Arjuna. Remember, you are Partha. Your Partha means what? You are my friend. Oh Partha, be careful. You remember, you are my cousin. Mera izzat ko bachao. You think you are my cousin? If you cry when you go and see them, so it's I'll be in a mess. So for my sake, at least don't cry. Krishna knew now Arjuna is going to cry. Okay, read the purport.
As a super soul of all living entities, Lord Krishna could understand what was going on in the mind of Arjuna. The use of the word Rishikesha in this connection indicates that he knew everything. And the word Partha or the son of Kunti or Pratha is also similarly significant in reference to Arjuna. As a friend, he wanted to inform Arjuna that because Arjuna was the son of Pratha, the sister of his own father, Vasudeva, he had agreed to be the charioteer of Arjuna. Now what did Krishna mean when he told Arjuna to behold the Kurus? Did Arjuna want to stop there and not fight? Krishna never expected such help from the son of his aunt Pratha. The mind of Arjuna was thus predicted by the Lord in friendly children.
So now Krishna knew what's going in the mind of Arjuna. Because as soon as the chariot was brought between the two armies, Krishna saw Arjuna. Arjuna has already seen those people. Before the chariot was far away from the army, what pravrutte shastra sampate? Arjuna had taken a bow. He put it on the He actually pulled the bow string. And in this way, Arjuna came all the way between the two armies. And Krishna is looking at Arjuna. Arjuna saw all of them, and gradually what happened? So then Krishna is saying, Pashyetan Kuru Niti. Oh, you are Partha. You should have shot the arrow. What are you doing? So in a friendly, joking way, Rishikesha is understanding, he knows the mind of Arjuna. He can understand the mind of everyone. So that is why. So in this particular first chapter, the names of Krishna are very important, and Arjuna also are very important. You should know why the specific name has been used in a particular place. Though Rishikesh has been mentioned three places, you should know these three places why Rishikesh has been mentioned. Okay. Next. Tatra pascha sthitan partha.
Tatra pascha sthitan partha.
Mitrenatha pitamahan.
Mitrenatha pitamahan.
Acharyan matulan bratrin.
Acharyan matulan bratrin.
Putran putran sakinstata.
Putran putran sakinstata.
Vasuran surudaschaiva.
Vasuran surudaschaiva.
Senayor bayorapi. Tatrapasya siddhan partha pitrinata pitavam. Tatrapasya. As soon as he reached there, Arjuna saw. Whom did he see?
Everyone.
First he saw pitrin. Pitrin means? Fathers. Ata pitamahan. Grandfathers. Means those. Pitrin means those who are in the generation of his fathers. Those in the generation of Bhishma or grandfathers. And Acharya, those who are like his teachers, like Dronacharya, Kripacharya. Matulan means maternal uncles. Bhatrin means brothers of his own generation. And Putran, next generation, like Abhimanyu. Pautran, those who are like his grandsons. Sakin, Satai's friends. Sasuran means father-in-law. And Surudascheva, all his friends. Senayur Vyorabhi, he saw in both the sides, they were all were practically relatives. Now, purport.
On the battlefield, Arjuna goes to all kinds of relatives, including person like Yashva, who and his father, contemporaries, grandfather Bhishma and Somadatta, teachers like Duryodhana, Dronacharya and Kripacharya, maternal uncle like Salya and Sukuni, brother like Duryodhana, son like Lakshma, friend like Asastama, well wishes, like Dharma. He could see also armies which contain many of his friends.
You're Russian, Prabhuji? No. The English sounded like Russian. It's so interesting to note, whatever is your mother tongue, after that you may learn any language. That language would sound like your mother tongue. You're from which place?
Thailand.
What language you speak there?
Thai.
Thai language. Okay. Thai language. Thai has a language, eh? Thai language, it's a separate language. Something like Chinese or?
No, something like a Sanskrit. So many Sanskrit languages in Thai.
Achha, something like Sanskrit. Achha. Interesting. Thailand. Malaysia has a different language. Hong Kong, Malaysia, Thailand, they're all in the same place. No. No, it's all different.
Neighbors.
They are neighbors. Okay. Next.
Why in a Bhakur see the maternal uncle as Hilda?
Shalya is also uncle. Shalya is also related. How is he related, Shalya? Madhuri's brother. Shalya is Madhuri's brother. So uncle. And other one we know, Shakuni is Draupadi's brother. So Gandhari's brother. That's why we know. Yeah. Shalya is a very powerful king. You know what was Karna's rule for his Guruna told you have to become the commander in chief. Then somebody was sent to Karna telling that, see, you are equal to Arjuna. Arjuna has Krishna as charioteer. Arjuna has Krishna as a charioteer, isn't it? Then somebody went and did chugli to Karna. You will only fight when you have somebody like Krishna as a charioteer. Because you are like Arjuna, you should have similar thing. Then he put a condition to Duryodhana. I'll only fight. Because Duryodhana was sure there's only one person who can kill Arjuna. It's Karna. So he had to satisfy all the demands of Karna. Karna had a demand. I'll kill Arjuna. For me, it doesn't take much time. But I want somebody equal to Krishna's charity. Some king to be charity. Then Duryodhana told, I'll drive. No. Just imagine, he went to such an extent. Whom you want? If Shalya can do that. Just imagine going and asking Shalya to become a charioteer, to become a driver. For that, Duryodhana did all the hangama. He welcomed him, he pleased him, he invited him, did so much of hangama. And Shalya thought, why this Duryodhana is doing this thing? Duryodhana, he asked Duryodhana, what you want? Duryodhana said, I don't want anything, I just love you. Then Shalya became pleased. He said, he's not going to tell why is he doing this thing. Until unless I will tell him that I will give what you want. Shalya told, okay, whatever you want, I'll give. What you want, tell me. Because you're so pleased with Duryodhana's this thing. Pleased means he just told, what's happening to him? He's treating me so nicely. Duryodhana told, I want you to be a charioteer of Karna. Then Shalya told, you want me to be a charioteer of a person? What is the son? Karna belong to which community? Sutta. Sutta Putra? You tell me, I'll become your charioteer. What is this? You're degrading me. Duryodhana told, you keep, you're a kshatriya, you should keep up your words. Then Shalya told, okay, I'll only drive the chariot, nothing else. I'll not do anything else, I'll just drive the chariot. And Shalya became the charioteer of Karna. The time came. Karna's problem was only one thing. Curses, curses, curses. Everybody cursed him. Bhudevi cursed him. And Karna was riding the chariot. Bhudevi opened her earth. The chariot wheel went down. Then Karna told Shalya, get the chariot wheel up. Shalya told, my promise to Duryodhana is I'll just drive your chariot. It's not my job. And Karna had to get down. He's lifting the chariot wheel. Then Krishna says, Arjuna, shoot. That's Mahabharata.
This one was the king of Mathura?
Huh?
He was the king of Mathura?
Who? No, 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 no. He was somewhere onto the Afghanistan, huh? Afghan side. Huh? That side. See, most of the kings were onto the western side. Eastern side kings were not so much interested in fighting. Eastern sides were like, in there. Mostly the entire thing, as for my information, one of the lectures of Mahabharata I heard, the battlefield was all the way from Kurukshetra till Turkey, the present Turkey. And that too at many dimensions it was happening. It is not just a three-dimensional way. Come back to Bhagavad Gita,
actually. The shooting of Karna when
using
the chariot
is not a drama. Going back to Mahabharata. Let us keep. Everything is fair in love and war. Okay. So now, what has happened? Sena Yorubhyo Rupi Sadhyam. As soon as he saw them, what happened to him? 27th verse. tan samikshasya kaunteya
tan samikshasya kaunteya
sarvan bandhu namastitan
sarvan bandhu namastitan
kripaya paraya avishto visha visidan nidam abravi. Now as soon as Arjuna saw all these people, his heart was overwhelmed with compassion.
What's that?
I think everybody's attention is another sport.
Every day.
I did not hear the sound of
everyone's waiting.
Just imagine. we are so just trying out where whose sound is going. It's kind of thing. Okay. So his heart was overwhelmed with compassion. Overwhelmed with compassion. So kripaya paraya vishto. The word paraya here, remember, it is not transcendental compassion. It is too much of compassion he had. So kripaya paraya vishto vishidantam vishidan idam abhavit. In great sorrow, he started speaking the following way. That is what is explained in the verse. Purport? No purport. So now starts the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna Arjuna Samvad. Arjuna, as soon as he saw them, he started speaking like this. But that is Arjuna Uvacha. No, Arjuna is speaking directly, but it is not like the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna and Arjuna are speaking. Where Arjuna is depressed and Krishna speaks. So, I am just repeating what the Acharya explained. That's what it is. So, going further, 28th verse. Arjuna Vacha Drishtvenam Sajanam Krishna Yutsam Samupasthitam Sidanti Mamagatrani Mukam Cha Parishushyati. Okay, now here Arjuna is speaking to Krishna. Till the end of the chapter, even in the second chapter, in the beginning few verses, Arjuna gives five reasons to Krishna why he is not going to fight. So let us try to know what are the five reasons which Arjuna gave to Krishna. The first one is compassion. Out of compassion to my people, I am not going to fight. Second reason, enjoyment. Enjoyment. Just note it down. Just keep these keywords in mind so that later on, after your understanding, then you can expand on this. Third one is sinful reactions. Sin. Fourth one is social reasons. The fifth one is confusion. Yeah. So, in three verses, 28, 29 and 30, he addresses the topic of compassion. Arjuna says, how out of compassion I am not going to fight. Now what is the mood in which Arjuna is speaking? Vishidantam, he was completely in depression and he was overwhelmed with compassion. Though Arjuna gave five reasons of not fighting, the primary reason was compassion.
The primary reason was compassion. So that is addressed in these three verses. Drishtva imam, iman, drishtva imam, swajanam. Swajanam means what? My people, swajana, my own people. Oh Krishna. And those people, those swajanas, yutsam samupasthitam. When I saw them, when they were so in front of me, what is happening to me? Sidhanti mama gatrani. What is happening? My whole body is, gatrani means body. Mama gatrani. Mukhamcha, my mouth is arishushyati. So now, I'll give you a small exercise for yourself. Within 2-3 minutes, you read the purport of 28 to yourself and purport of 29. Don't go to the 29 verse and all these things. Just read both the purports to yourself and come out with what you felt. Okay, you read both the purports. What you felt? Come out.
One was the same that
Yes. In one verse, the first word that is on the 28th verse, what is Prabhupada saying? Arjuna is? Pure devotee like Arjuna, you know. All the good qualities are there within him. Wonderful. What did he say in the next verse about Arjuna? Who is he? Who is Arjuna there? Who is Arjuna? Is he devotee, materially afflicted, what? Don't you think it's too contradictory?
Isn't it seems to be contradictory? How do you resolve this contradiction? Is Prabhupada written something wrong, or is it is there really some contradiction, or there is no contradiction? Arjuna is representing ordinary person, that is accepted. Now he is like a representing ordinary person. Now forget Parshada and all, that's over. Don't confuse that with that. Okay, now he is representing an ordinary person. Now tell me now, who is he? Okay, the next verse is what? Last time, read the last time of the next verse. How do you understand?
Arjun was a devotee.
Yes, Prabhu. No, already acting. Now he's acting. Take it. Forget that he is, he's Parshada and all this. Don't confuse with that. Now, at present, he is now acting. In this situation, there are two phases of Arjuna. One is, 28th verse talks about Arjuna is, other one is, okay.
He is now getting
himself. Next verse, Prabhupada forgot he wrote something like that. Okay, he is forgetting. Forgetting himself is a devotee. Okay.
Towards the material things also. He cannot be harsh.
Yeah. Exactly wrong you are speaking.
Even in the material.
A devotee is very harsh towards all material feelings.
Harsh
in the material field, but
as far as the loss of life is concerned, probably
he will not be able to share his feelings. Then Krishna should not have asked Arjuna to fight. Loss of life, life is there, so much of loss of life is there. Okay, let's resolve. Let's try to do what exactly the thing, okay? Now we have the 28th verse where Arjuna has been described as a very good person. Why? Because he has compassion. Isn't it? Among so many qualities which a person can possess, the topmost of all the quality a person can possess is compassion. Somebody may have a lot of beauty but doesn't have compassion. You may get attracted to that person because of beauty, no compassion, then you will get repulsed. Even though there is no good qualities, but if compassion is there, that is attractive. Now, Arjuna had this compassion, and compassion, this quality of compassion is a product of mode of goodness. So, a devotee naturally gets that goodness. A devotee Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Yakinchana Sarvair Gune Satra Sura Samasate Sura. Sura means demigods, they have goodness, they are in goodness. That is why they get the position of being demigods. Okay? So Arjuna was a very good person because he had compassion within the heart. Now, next purport, Prabhupada talks about what? Arjuna was having Dehatma Buddhi, or his consciousness was stuck in matter. What is the last line? Exact words Prabhupada uses? Material conception of life. So one who has material conception of life, that means he is ignorant. So in 28 words, Arjuna has been declared as a good person. In the 29th words, Arjuna has been declared as an ignorant person. Add both of them, Arjuna is a very good ignorant person. Arjuna is what? Very good? Very difficult to digest, isn't it? That's where Bhagavad Gita has its speciality. One who can understand that Arjuna is a very good ignorant person and Bhagavad Gita is meant for such people. That means just imagine the position of Bhagavad Gita. Position of Bhagavad Gita is such that it starts and the platform which is beyond goodness. That means being good person is not the goal of life. A bird is also good. Some people say, "Acha raho, be a good person, that's all." But this is not a philosophy. We are not meant to be good people. Bhagavad Gita is not to make a person good. But everybody thinks, Bhagavad Gita is a very good person. No, he's a very bad person. It is something beyond good. Of course, it is meant for people in goodness. But it is not meant for people to come to the platform mode of goodness and be there. So Bhagavad Gita is totally a transcendental literature, which is beyond the modes. But to get the transcendental knowledge, one has to be in mode of goodness like Arjuna. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam. So being in mode of goodness like Arjuna becomes the qualification to receive self-knowledge. You open the last words of the first chapter, purport, last line. First chapter, last words. Purports, last line. Such a kind and soft-hearted person like Arjuna is fit to receive. So now you can see, is kind-hearted and compassionate. He was feeling compassion not only for his own people on his side. He was feeling compassion to those who wanted to kill him. Isn't it? It's not an easy thing. Somebody wants to come to kill you and you feel compassionate for him. Just imagine what a consciousness, the amount of goodness Arjuna had. So he is having goodness, that doesn't mean he is having knowledge. Goodness is the platform where you can receive knowledge. But goodness in itself is not produce knowledge.
So if Arjuna is in such a goodness mode, then how can he use such sarcastic words to Hanuman?
Huh?
How can he use such words?
See, when the scriptures are describing a personality, they describe one personality in different ways because different scriptures are meant for different audience. If you see scriptures or pastimes of Krishna, Lord Ram in the Rajasic or the Tamasic Puranas, you will find, hey, what's happening here? Isn't it? So when Vyasa wrote Mahabharata, his audience for Mahabharata are different. So he had to present certain situations in such a way that becomes very captivating for the mind of the people. So in spite of Arjuna being in that platform now, that is one reason. Now here the situation has come. The real personality of a person is examined when some serious situations come. You may find a sannyasi or maybe joking with devotees while having prasadam. But you should see them when they are chanting or reading Bhagavatam or giving Bhagavatam class. Arey, yesterday I saw him joking with the devotee. Isn't it? So, the real aspect of the personality is not that he always jokes. Sitting in Pizuvode, some joke has happened, okay, that's okay. Isn't it? That is not the real aspect of his personality. The real aspect of his personality came out when? you got the point? So, it is not that that sannyasi would be always behaving the same way with everyone as he would do at the time of chanting, at the time of reading Bhagavatam, at the time of having darshan of the deity. Isn't it? You will even find within one person different features at the same time. Okay, we'll come back to the point. It's a discussion where Arjuna is a very good ignorant person. That's our discussion. Very good, ignorant person. So being good is not enough. Being good is not so that is why people have this doubt. Arjuna was a very good person. Why Krishna made him fight? And the extreme of this same doubt is the Russian court, where they wanted Bhagavad Gita to be declared as a terrorist literature. Were they wrong in telling that Bhagavad Gita is a terrorist literature? He says no. He's the only one person who told no. When I was in Bombay at the time, in Bombay, I knew some BHP people, Vishwendu Parishad people. They came to me saying that, you know, we would like to help ISKCON fight the court case there. We are going to the Russian High Commissioner there, and Russian Embassy, what draft should be there. They are saying how dare they can say Bhagavad Gita is a terrorist literature. I was listening to all of them. I told, yes, Bhagavad Gita is a terrorist literature. Only it's a book on peace, world peace. You don't know. Krishna told to fight. No, they don't know Bhagavad Gita. It's a Sanatana Dharma and all these things they are telling. I told, see, we are not interested in peace. Then I quoted the words from Bhagavatam. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavaha. Viplava means what?
Revolution.
Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is meant to create a revolution in the sinful life of the people. Now, what is the meaning of sinful life? Sinful life doesn't mean somebody is doing illicit sex, drinking alcohol, intoxication. Even to think of living peacefully in this world is also sinful. Even to think of being a very good person in the world is also sinful. Why? Because he wants to live in this world. He doesn't want to get out of the cycle of birth and death. That is why he is sinful. So now, who are our audience? Generally, people in mode of goodness generally. So those who are attached to mode of goodness, what is their mentality? Peaceful life, sinful life, simple life. So what we want to do? We want to create a revolution in their life. He was peaceful. You give a Bhagavad Gita class, make him very agitated. Isn't it? That's what we do. Sometimes I find this, when I go to some Bhagavad Gita courts, they are living their happy life. We give them some knowledge to them. One course or here and there, speak Bhagavad Gita to them. And they have more anxiety. Where to eat, what not to eat, what to do, what to speak, how to finish. So much of anxiety. Isn't it? It is true. Actually, we destroy people's material life. Generally, people think having a peaceful life is spirituality. That is what Arjuna was also thinking. I want to be compassionate. Let us fight war and all. Let me just go and be peaceful. And Arjuna thought this is spirituality. But that is not true. That is not true. So Bhagavad Gita is transcendental literature. So we stop here. Tomorrow when we meet, we'll discuss further reasons. So let's see. How many of us are very good ignorant people? Adi Shakkar gila de. Who made this rule? Then somebody's mobile rings. She likes sweets or what?
Gracias.